You turn your Bibles to Luke 7, and I'll be reading of verse 36, starting in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But unto whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Simon was, like most of the world, you know, he was a 50-cent sinner. The Lord uses that picture there of, you know, a 50 pence debt as opposed to a 500 pence debt. You know, he didn't see himself to be much in need at all. Certainly not much in need as in need as this sinful woman. He wasn't such a bad guy. He didn't require so much. And you know, it's only God that awakens us to our terrible sinfulness and our need for Him. Like I said, that fellow I spoke to last night, you know, I pray the Holy Spirit's working in his life that way. It seems that it may be, and he's seeking, and folks don't seek until the Spirit does something. And God awakens us to that we might cast ourselves upon Him, and in so doing, receive and experience absolute forgiveness. Well, this narrative starts out with Simon's invitation. And as I was going over this, some thoughts came to mind. As you know, there's almost a contrast here. I could make it a whole different sermon than it is here. I won't totally do that, but the contrast kind of gospels that are out there today. You know, there's that gospel about, well, invite Jesus into your heart. Just invite Jesus. Well, Simon invited Jesus into his house. You know, he could come into his house. He could come in as a guest. You know, invite Jesus in your heart. You hear folks say, try Jesus. Try God. Just give him a try. See what happens. Well, Simon said, I'll invite him into the house. But, you know, don't you come in here and take over. You know, you can be a guest. You just come on in. Let Jesus be a guest in your heart. Let him have a place in your heart. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, the exact motives of the Pharisee, aren't certain. I don't know, what he had hoped to accomplish there, and maybe it to show up Jesus or something. I don't know exactly what he intended. But in any case, he was at least willing to sit down as the host, to sit down as perhaps as an equal, but it seems like even less than that, because he didn't even extend the common courtesies of the day to the Lord. But he was willing to sit down and eat bread with him. He didn't recognize him as Lord. He didn't recognize him as Savior. He didn't recognize him as sovereign. The customs of the day, he would have provided water for him to wash his feet and oil to anoint his head. He did none of those things. He was willing to invite him in, but he wasn't willing to cast himself at the Lord's feet as a wretched sinner. He certainly didn't have the attitude that we see in another Pharisee that was touched by the Spirit of God. Well, maybe more than touched. We could almost say he was knocked up beside the head by the Spirit of God. And I'm talking about that Pharisee Saul of Tarsus. And when he wrote to Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 1:5, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Well, Paul didn't think he was a 50-cent sinner or even a 500-cent sinner. Paul said, "I'm chief. I owe the greatest debt to anybody ever owed." The Lord was in full knowledge of whatever might have been the motives of Simon, and he accepted that invitation. I can't say what all the reasons were to teach us, to receive this woman. But he accepted, and we read as the narrative continued this notorious uninvited interluder. Well, it wasn't so uncommon in that day. When one had a open dinner, when one had the house was open, and often others were permitted to come in, particularly beggars. It was looked upon as, I'm kind of a good guy, and we kind of look after these beggars, and they can be present for the meal, perhaps receive a morsel. Verse 37, "And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping." Now the Lord would have been, the way they sat at the table then, they were kind of reclined with their face toward the table and their feet behind them. So that's the picture. She stood behind him at his feet, because his feet would have been behind him as he it was on his side towards the table. "And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." If I ask you who this woman was, some of you probably make some guesses. And folks have made a lot of guesses, but we really don't know who it was. Speculation has been that it's Mary Magdalene, which it's probably not. There was even sometimes speculation that it's Mary the sister of Lazarus, and that seems even more improbable. It's not important, that we know exactly who this woman was. It's important that we see what the Lord accomplished here. The point is that this woman was known as a sinner, and it seems fairly evident that she was a harlot. That much we can gather from what's there, and it seems to be pretty evident that that's what the situation was. More importantly than being known as a sinner, she'd been brought to know herself as one.
Amen.
And that's And that's what the critical matter is here. This is what our old Baptist forefathers used to talk about, sensible sinners. It's not a pleasant thing to realize what a wretched thing we are, but it's a blessing from God. It's the work of the Spirit. She was a sensible sinner. And we can argue with things, and some of my brethren say, well, you know, regeneration and conversion, they're just like instantaneous. I don't see that in the Scriptures necessarily, but the Lord works on these things one way or the other. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she needed a Savior. I don't think, at least as the narrative begins, she may well not have been converted to this point yet. But she was certainly quickened to the Spirit. She's like that illustration I often use, that dead man at the bottom of the well. He's alive now. And he said, man, I am in a fix. There ain't no hope for me. There ain't no escape for me. She'd been brought by the Spirit to see these things and to realize that she needed forgiveness and to seek forgiveness. Again, I relate to this, Lord. I guess it happens all the time, but this last week or two, it's just several instances like this fellow that called me. And, you know, the Lord uses us in these things as we go about our daily business. You know, and I go different places, I'm involved in different things. I'm like, man, I'm really spread out. But, you know, the Lord uses those things. I was at a gun shop there, a fellow named Tim, I've known years, talked back and forth. I'm sure at some point I told him I was a preacher, but I couldn't remember exactly. You know, we just talked things in passing. And he was kind of just like, oh, my dad's been bothering me for recently to get back in church or whatever. He said, I was always raised in church. I said, you know, you're talking to a preacher. He said, yeah. And you know, we had a chance to talk a little bit and, you know, encourage him to, you know, look at our website and a little bit of things in there. One of the fellows who's an officer in one of the ranges that I'm at, I won't mention his name right now, but recently put him onto my mailing list, you know, and he gets the paper and all, he sends out, like a lot of people send stuff, I just don't even read half of it. He sent me something the other day, I click on it, and it's like, it's the next Sophia Loren, and it's like a woman that's, you know, pretty much uncovered. And I wrote back, and I said, you know, I said, I really try not to receive things that I can't share with my wife and my church family. And he was like, I'm sorry, I should have thought about that before I sent that to you. Well, then after the last paper this week, I got a lot of reaction to that last paper I sent out and the stuff I say at the beginning, but he wrote me back and it just said, basically, he said, thank you for that. He said, brother. So I don't, you know, who knows the guy, but I just, you know, the Lord uses, I think, all of our lives as we go about and just be what we're supposed to be. You know, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think you don't have to be going around beating people over the head with a Bible. And that's not accomplishing it, really. Or maybe I'm wrong. I know that's almost kind of raised up that way. That's what you're supposed to do. But, you know, you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to, you know, they know who you are. They know what you stand for. And I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, this woman's reputation there, it had clung to her, you know. Maybe she'd come to realize that she needed a salvation, and she'd realized what a sinner she was, but, you know, who she was and what she'd been, and that clung to her, and it made her somewhat a unwelcome visitor in the Pharisee's house. He certainly would not have allowed her to touch him. But again, he hadn't even extended the common courtesies to the Lord. The Lord, as he got to the table, would have removed his footwear and reclined, again, with his feet pointing away from the table. And this woman casts herself at his feet. You know, I can't look at a person's heart. You know, I can't say, well, you know, come on up here, walk down, get saved. But if someone indicates that they're a sensible sinner, you know what I can tell them, and I think it's always a safe thing to do, is cast yourself on the Savior. Cast yourself at the feet of Jesus. That's always a safe action to take. And she casts herself at the Lord's feet and began to weep and to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, to anoint him with oil out of deep sorrow and deep respect and deep contrition. Oh, there's a whole other sermon in there, I guess, as well. You know, today's bob-headed women would have a hard time washing the Lord's feet with their hair, wouldn't they? 1 Corinthians tells us that long hair is a woman's glory. I still believe that. You know? Anyway, we see Simon pretty skeptical of everything that's going on. He evidently finds it kind of amusing. In verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and of what manner this woman is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, other folks knew she was a sinner, and she knew she was a sinner. The fact of the matter is, above all others, the Lord, you know, knew she was a sinner. Indeed, those are whom he came in the world to save. Those are the ones he came to seek and to save the lost sheep of his fold. Now, the Pharisee figures that it's impossible that the Lord could have known the character of this woman. For if he'd known that, he wouldn't have allowed her to touch him. The Pharisees, according to the Jewish commentaries and writings from the Jewish Midrash, says this, for the Pharisees allowed themselves not even to be touched by the common people. You know, they were, I don't know, I guess kind of like our rulers in D.C. and all, you know, and we're the mundanes and, you know, they're the leaders and the rulers. They wouldn't allow themselves to even be touched. Another quote from the Mishnah, the commentaries of the Jews. The Pharisees, if they touched the garments of the common people, they were defiled. And therefore, when they walked in the streets, they walked on the sides of the ways, that they might not be defiled by the touch of the common people. You know, they were so good. You know? They were better than everybody else. Certainly better than this harlot. And certainly, if the Lord had known who that harlot, he wouldn't let someone like that approach him or touch him, or he wouldn't talk to someone like that. You know, again, I think the Lord uses opportunities as we come in. Hey, we're to be in the world, not of the world. We're not to be like them, but we're there. We're in the midst of some of these things in our daily goings abouts. And I, you know, I hope I'm not just saying things to justify myself and whatever. But like I go out there to the range the other day when I was running one of the matches I do, and there's a fairly new fellow there, and we got to talking. He got to be his preacher, and he got, you know, got to talking about a lot of different things. And who knows, you know, Lord. Of course, if you're out there doing that, you end up enduring a lot of things, too, because, you know, they're the world. They sound like the world, especially those Yankees that's moved down here. They sound just like the world. But anyway, well, they are the world. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. Well, the Lord knows what's going on. Simon doesn't know the Lord knows what's going on, but the Lord knows what's going on. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Well, from all we've read to this point, all that answer could be is something pretty sarcastic. And then what? The Lord knew the character of this woman, but he also knew the very character and the thoughts of Simon. Simon says, Master, or Rabbi, literally. I'm sure in his own mind, almost sarcastically, because he had already said, if this fellow were a prophet, he'd know who this woman was. He doesn't. I think he was probably quite amused. And he says, Master, say on. And the Lord says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgavest most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. The exact equivalent of a denarius, you know, somewhat difficult to determine, but it's said that it was approximately maybe an average day's wages. So, you know, we have on an average day, what your average day wages are nowadays. Let's say you got somebody that owes a $500 debt and somebody owes a $5,000 debt. Or, you know, if you make what I do a day, maybe it's a $50 debt. But anyway, you got folks here. It's a tenfold difference. And again, the Lord just used this as an illustration. Again, you can't... you're not intended to make the parables, as we say, walk on all 4 feet, which means that, you know, the Lord uses this parable. He's teaching something. He's not saying that Simon, you know, truly loved him either. He said, who loves him the most? I don't know in the case of the parable if the one that had the lesser debt, you know, loved him a little less, but really loved him or not. The point is not that, you know, that well, you say, well, Simon must have loved him too because he's like the 50-cent sinner. So the other one loved him most. That's not the point of the parable. You know, we're missing the point when we say, well, you got to make it walk on all four. So everything in there means no, it doesn't. The Lord didn't intend that. He's teaching a lesson, so look for the lesson. There is one important thing in here. You see, they all had nothing to pay. Whether it was the one who owed five, or the one who owed 500, or the one who owed 50, they had nothing to pay. Nothing. And that's the case with all sinners before God. Our debt's beyond our ability to pay. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to pay. That's what we call total depravity. That's what we call total hereditary depravity and total inability. Now, Simon evidently, you know, even to this point, still not really sure about what's going on. He's unaware with, you know, where the Lord's going with this story. And so Simon answers real quickly, and the Lord said, Which one loves him most? The one he forgave 500 to? Or the one, you know, he forgave, or the one 50 to? And he answers quickly, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And the Lord makes his application in verse 44. And he turned to the woman. And said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which were many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. The Lord makes application of that parable, you know, to this particular woman. And it was Simon and the woman that the Lord had been talking about, unbeknownst to Simon. You know, the Pharisee had neglected even the basic common courtesy of the day. That kind of attitude we see, you know, towards the Lord, towards the Lord's church. But the Lord takes those things kind of seriously. Remember when Saul was persecuting the Lord's church, the Lord, when the Spirit knocked Saul upside the head, the Lord said, Simon, why do you persecute me? The woman had unrestrained gratitude to the Lord. And he says unto thee, thy sins are forgiven. Without getting into a whole bunch of, parts of speech and so forth, that is a perfect pass, which literally means your sins have been forgiven and remain so. Your sins are forgiven. They've been forgiven. I think that reflects upon, as I understand the scriptures again, eternal justification. She was one of his sheep. The suretyship of Christ, when Christ said, I'll die for that people, and the Father said, I accept that. But it's only experienced, it's only embraced in this life through faith. I mean, she was one of the Lord's elect. Her sins were forgiven. But she had not experienced that. She had not embraced that. She had not received the benefits of that in this life. The Lord knew who this woman was. He knew her reputation. In fact, he knew her from before the foundation of the world. She was one of his sheep from eternity. And she, like that debtor, had a great debt. And he had paid it. Simon, on the other hand, his debts, if there were any at all, were very little in his mind. There was no need for any, great attitude or any great gratitude. Kind of, Arminianism, kind of, you got a little sinner. He's kind of depraved, but certainly not totally depraved. He's kind of not fully able, but he's not inable. I mean, he can do stuff. He can decide what he wants to do. He can make the right decisions. He can do his part. Well, Lord, do his part, and then, I'll do my part, and we'll work together. Everything will be okay. It's like I just invite him over to my house, and we'll just sit there like I'm the host, after all. I ask him in. Lord says, thy sins are forgiven thee. A whole bunch of folks heard that, and they all heard it in different ways. It was for the assurance of the woman. through God-given faith, she was able to embrace that, your sins are forgiven thee. What an assurance. To demonstrate to Simon, not only was he a prophet that Simon had questioned, but he was the Most High God. For only the Most High God has the prerogative to forgive sins. The sins of this woman, all of which the Lord were aware of, were forgiven. Simon, was just this 50-cent sinner. It didn't really matter much. It didn't amount to much. There was no real feeling for a need for forgiveness. No gratitude. Simon was not amongst those who were laboring and heavy laden. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I don't know how folks take that as some universal invitation. Come on down! Everybody, come on! Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Does Simon look like one who labors and is heavy laden? No, he's sitting up there. He's the big host. Thinking all sort of things about the Lord. How about this woman? Casts herself at his feet. And then we see the reaction of the religionists that are about. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also. Indeed, who is this? Who is this? And once again, the Lord had asserted his deity. Folks don't like that. They just don't like that. I was reading today an article about how the Muslims now, it's, I guess, you know, you got all these cute baby pictures, and, you know, it was an Ann Geddes that puts them in flowers and fruit and all this sort of stuff. And the Muslims are now taking baby pictures, you know, with the little babies, you know, with hand grenades and AK-47s and jihad uniforms on, you know, and preparing them, you know, to be martyrs. And one of the fathers who had said, now I think it may have been part of the picture even, you know, about those folks who think that Jesus, that the Son of Mary, who claim that the Son of Mary is God, are infidels. I guess that's us. I hope so. Now I understand. If that's what makes someone an infidel, is believing that the Son of Mary is God, then a lot of Christianity doesn't have anything to worry about, right? I mean, they should be just fine with the Muslims. Because more and more of Christianity don't believe nothing like that. Oh, he was a good man, you know. He taught some good stuff, kind of like Simon there. You know, I'll have him over, see if I can be entertained. See if I can learn something from him. Oh, but if he's God, that's a different matter. Pharisees don't like that. Who can forgive sins but God? The Lord asserts his deity. So not only had he violated the traditions of the elders by permitting this sinful woman to touch him, but now he claims the ability to forgive sins. And again, the world has all kind of ways to get your sins forgiven, you know, by being a good fellow, by following all the laws, like Simon did. Getting your ticket punched. Stay away from them common people. You know, go to the Mass. Get baptized, like that fellow was going to get baptized so he could go to heaven. Now make the right decisions. All sorts of ways, except casting yourself at the feet of Jesus. And that's the only way. Casting yourself at the feet of Christ in God-given repentance and faith, like that woman did. Previously in Luke, again, we know that the Pharisees had accused the Lord of blasphemy for this very thing. In Luke 5, a couple chapters back in verse 21. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God?" Indeed, who can forgive sins but God? The Lord was asserting his deity. In the religious world, not just the Muslims, mind you, not just the Muslims. The religious world hates the idea that Christ and that he alone can forgive sins. Now, Brother Howell alluded to in his prayer, folks saying, "Oh, there's all these different ways up to, you know, there's this way over here, and this, we're all going to the same place, we're just taking different paths." The world hates the idea that he is God. He alone can forgive sins. So no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, the Lord knows this woman. He knew her from eternity. She was one of his. Her sins had been forgiven her. But God gives us repentance and faith that we might experience the blessings of that in this life. I was trying to explain to that fellow yesterday about doctrines of grace and some things. Here's a fellow from a Pentecostal background. He's getting ready to go into a Church of Christ. You know, I mean, what can you say to the fellow? I tried to talk and explain to him, and he was like, "Oh, so then you don't know, then like when you die you find out if you're one of his or not." You know, I was talking to him about that. I said, no. You know, I said, the Lord brings those that are His to Himself. He brings those that are His. He brings them to embrace Him. He brings them through God-given faith to experience the benefits, even in this life, in the peace. And so the Lord says in verse 50, and said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Not that her faith, you know, was the cause of her salvation, but the faith allows her to appropriate that peace. That faith isn't hers. It's His. Her faith, but it, because it came from Him, it's the faith of Jesus Christ. Thy faith, which has been demonstrated, save thee. Go in peace. Other than there's no other peace but in Christ. There is no other peace. It's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that the world can't understand. It's a peace that comes from no other source. Anyway, here's this woman, and at the Lord's, and she has been very literally, very in a physical sense, there in the presence of, she has been forgiven by Christ. I mean, He's right there. She has been forgiven by Christ because she cast herself completely upon the mercy of God. That's all we can do. And we can't even do that on our own. But that's all we can do, is cast ourselves on His mercy. And that's all you need to do. And so I think we see in this, listen, the heavy laden sinner is always safe in casting themselves on Christ. I don't know what else to tell anybody to do. You know, well, be good. This guy was yesterday too, was telling me that he thought the Lord was kind of working in his life, and he'd given up this and he'd given up that. And he went, I said, that's all well and good. I said, that don't commend you to God. And if He draws you to Himself, you know, He'll lead you to do that, maybe some of that. I said, but that ain't gonna cut it. That just is not gonna cut it. Well, the guy's kind of, you know, folks are befuddled out there. All these things they hear. All these different kind of gospels that are out there. He's the one that can forgive sins. That's all we need. He's the one that can forgive sins. We have a debt we cannot pay. And He paid it for His people. In reality, in the spiritual realm, you know, there aren't any 50-cent sinners. But there's a lot of folks in their own mind that are that way. But the Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to pay the debt for His people. And He did. And so we can go in peace. Because it is finished. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 150. He leadeth me. Number 150.
His faithful follower I would be. I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. Hey, leadeth me, leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by His grace the victory won, even death's cold grave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for the privilege to gather here. Lord, I thank You for each one that's here. Lord, I thank You for the strength we draw one from another. Lord, I pray You be with each of us in this coming week, that You might be pleased to use us to Your honor and to Your glory as we go about our daily duties. And if it be Your will, You would use us to point men to Christ. Father, we pray for those that need Your healing hand. Lord, we pray for those in our own families that know not Christ, that walk not with Him. Father, we thank Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for the forgiveness of sins. For of a truth, we had a sin debt, and we could not pay. And You paid it. Lord, we thank You for the work of the Spirit. Caused us to see our need and our condition and drew us to the Savior. Lord, we thank You for that God-given faith that allows us to embrace Him and to go in peace. Father, may we go in peace and obedience. May men see our Savior in us, and may they glorify God. And it's in His precious name that we pray. Amen.